This is Evel Knievel and the Evel Knievel Shock Absorbing Evel Stunt Knievel. Cycle. And for that big jump, here's Evel. Up and over that 4-foot ditch.
From Kenner's Star Wars collection, each sold separately. Large size Darth Vader with his lightsaber.
You WWF figures, they got way out of that connection.
I'll squat Hogan with my new Macho
Master. Man, Hulk's gonna put the squeeze on you. You WWF figures so close to the real thing. Like being in the ring.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios. Right now, not a whole lot going on, obviously, in the national sports front. And so that opens up the door for us to have conversations about sports-related books, sports movies, in this case today, sports toys. And I've held off for many years because we've had a great track record of getting professional athletes, well-known coaches, well-known authors and writers on this show. We've actually done a phenomenal job with that over the past 10 years. There's one man that I have not been able to track down. I have not been able to contact, and I have exhausted every avenue. Pat McAnally. McAnally played in the NFL for many years with the Cincinnati Bengals. He was a punter, went to a Super Bowl. He was an All-American at Harvard. He's really known for two things. One, by the numbers, he's the smartest player to ever play in the NFL. You know the Wunderlich test? We've had conversations about the Wunderlich test. I took it once here on the show. They give it to the college kids as they're going into the NFL. It's part of the pre-draft process. Pat McAnally is the only documented player to score a perfect 50 on that test. Again, Harvard grad. Yeah, it's to be expected, right? Well, it's pretty difficult. Only one person's ever done it, Pat McAnally. Two, he created starting lineups that were released in 1988. And really, McAnally's story is fascinating. As I really started researching heavily into starting lineups, because we all know about the toys itself. They started off basketball, football, baseball, 4 to 5 inch figures. They'd come with a card as well. Sometimes they'd come with a medallion or they'd come with a poster. In the early editions on the back, there would be like a checklist. For every team, you would see the 3 to 4 players that they made for each squad. So it was like pulling a checklist card out of a pack of cards. So we know about that. But the story of Pat McAnally and starting lineups, I think it's extremely unique. So let's start by talking about Pat McAnally. As I mentioned, only player to ever score a perfect 50 on the Wunderlich test. Comes out of Harvard. He's selected in the 5th round of the 1975 NFL draft. Same draft as Walter Payton, by the way. And you may or may not know that from 1934 to 1976, there was an exhibition game where the defending Super Bowl champs would play the college All-Americans from that draft class. So after the draft, this was a real game. And we're talking about the real Super Bowl champions. Pat McAnally was an All-American. He got to play in this game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the real Steelers, Terry Bradshaw, the Steel Curtain. Yes, this was a very real thing that took place for about 42 years. That's where Pat McAnally's story on the route to inventing starting lineups, which made something like $700 to $800 million for Kenner, that's where it started.
From Soldier Field in Chicago, Illinois, it's the College All-Stars versus the National Football League champion Pittsburgh Steelers in the 42nd College All-Star Football Game.
McAnally, 84 from Harvard, 6'6", is in at the wide receiver position left side. As Bartkowski has time, hunts it. He's got McAnally wide open! Touchdown! And McAnally is carried from the field by two of his teammates.
All right, so there's the clip. McAnally breaks his leg. That Super Bowl champion versus the college All-Americans, that game only takes place for one more season. The next year, it was a monsoon. The game was called in the third quarter, and then it just kind of fizzled out because NFL owners didn't really want their draft picks going up against Super Bowl champions. I mean, we're talking about kids going up against grown men. So that game fizzles out 2 years later. That's beside the point. The big factor here is McAnally breaks his leg. And I've seen interviews with McAnally where he says, had he not broken his leg, he doesn't know if the Bengals would have kept him around on the roster. Right, so they keep him around. There's a couple of trades that take place. A couple of players are released. McAnally makes the team in 1976. He punts for Cincinnati from 76 to 1985. He did play a little bit of wide receiver as well, but he's known as a punter for the Cincinnati Bengals. So that's 9 years he plays for the Bengals. During his time with Cincinnati, McAnally comes up with an idea to write a column for a local newspaper. It's called Pat Answers for Kids. And this column, it basically allows parents to ask questions about their kids. How do they throw the football properly? How does my kid get into shape in this route? Pat pitches it to a local newspaper in Cincinnati, and he sells the column for $50. Big deal, $50, right? This is where Pat McAnally, business-wise, was on another level. He sold that particular piece to that newspaper for $50. He's into it for syndication. While he's with the Bengals, every time the team goes on the road, he goes to that city's local newspaper and he pitches to sell that column again for $50. It's syndicated. Before you know it, Pat McAnally is bringing in all this money off syndication from a paper column that he wrote while he was with the Bengals. That's key to this story as well. Mid-80s, things start settling down for McAnally. He knows that football is probably coming to an end. He's not going to be in Cincinnati much longer. He sells his condo. The man that buys his condo is Bruce Stein. He's the senior vice president of marketing for Kenner Toys. He and McAnally begin to have conversations, and Bruce Stein realizes, I'm talking to a guy who's a professional athlete, Harvard grad, and he's been writing a paper column for kids. Boy, this works hand in hand with the toy industry. It's an adult who's been talking to kids. So he asks McAnally to come up with an idea for a toy. McAnally originally pitched him something about Dinosaur World, where dinosaurs played positions. Okay, that gets scrapped. McAnally and Stein go to the toy store, and McAnally picks up G.I. Joe. Now, here's a clip. This is from NFL Films. McAnally talking about the idea from a G.I. Joe that turned into starting lineups.
I've always loved toys, and the guy's name was Bazooka Bill, and his primary job was to carry the bazooka. They had built this whole bio around this character that had been created. I said, everyone knows who Walter Payton is. You don't have to make that up, so why don't we make three-dimensional baseball, football, basketball cards?
So now we have the idea of starting lineups. McAnally takes this idea to the board at Kenner. They love it. A couple of other hurdles that they got to make sure they jump. That's making sure that the players' unions can all come together, that the teams are getting their share, the players are getting their share. McAnally had been working through the back door. He had it set, fixed in the NFL. Later, they get it worked out with the NBA. They get it worked out with Major League Baseball. And here's where the fun begins for us kids and the collectors of today. 1988, starting lineups hit the scene.
Where they expected a lot of people to buy a couple, it was fewer people that bought hundreds. People would literally wait at these toy stores. Sometimes the employees would buy all of them and then sell them out the back door. They never got to the shelves.
To be a winner, be strong, be ready to fight. To be a winner, be fast, command the spotlight.
Only today's greatest sports heroes make it to starting lineup. Collect basketball's Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, and Magic Johnson. Detailed uniforms, every home team, and their official. Collect starting lineup, each sold separately.
To be a winner.
That's the NBA commercial, the original NBA commercial. And here's what's fascinating about starting lineups in 1988. They produced 124 Major League Baseball players, 137 NFL players, and 85 NBA players. That was in the first set. Now, I want you to think about that in terms of baseball and basketball cards. In 1988, the Fleer NBA card set had 132 cards counting the checklist. So in 1988, there were 137 NFL players that got their own starting lineup. Think about that. And from a collector's standpoint, here's what made them so unique. No two players were made in the same quantity. So you had your all-star lots. Those were national releases. Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Dominique Wilkins. Those were the all-star cases. Now, the lesser-known players, the role players with on a team, they were distributed through team cases, and they went to the team state, so they were released regionally. So all-star players, you're looking at 25 to 40,000 quantities of Michael Jordan's, Larry Bird's, Magic Johnson's. Regional players, like here in the state of Utah, Again, role players, Mark Eaton, Thurl Bailey. At that time, John Stockton, Karl Malone, they weren't superstars yet at that particular time. They'd be released throughout the state of Utah. Just to give you some of the names that were released in the first year, Michael Cage, Mo Cheeks, Paul Pressey, Rodney McRae, Sam Perkins, Terry Cummings, Walter Berry, Xavier McDaniel, Wayman Tisdale, Winston Garland. You see, they weren't all superstars, and that's what made it so great. I mean, I grew up a Laker fan. I had Byron Scott and Michael Cooper and Vlade Divac and James Worthy. Of course, I had Magic and Kareem, but you could find the role players, and that's what was so spectacular about starting lineups. Now, I bring up the regional releases because right now, to this day, collectors have the idea of a holy grail of starting lineups. Basketball, football, baseball, hockey, NASCAR, it doesn't matter. The holy grail. There's four extremely sought-after starting lineups, and they come out in 1988. Karl Malone, John Stockton, Mark Eaton, and Thurl Bailey. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that there is no such thing as a Mark Eaton or Thurl Bailey in the box. Because again, we're talking 4,000 maximum. Now, I saw them as a kid. I remember seeing them as a kid. Nobody really wanted them. In fact, I do have a John Stockton. My sister got a John Stockton. She liked him as a kid. It's opened. It's in good shape, but it's not complete. I believe I have the card. I have the Stockton toy, but it's not in the box. Still, it's highly sought after. As a result, the rarest and most collectible starting lineups to this day come from the Utah Jazz because, again, in that inaugural 88 set, they went out regionally with about 4,000 pieces. So if you have the set, an unopened set of John Stockton, Karl Malone, Mark Eaton, and Thurl Bailey, you probably have about $5,000 to $6,000 minimum worth of starting lineups right there. Now, they continue to produce starting lineups 89, 90, 91, 92. They produce them all the way up to 2000. But each year, they started cutting back on the amount of players that you had to choose from. So if you grab the back of an 88, 89 box, or if you find one online, it'll have the team's logo and it'll tell you which players were released per team. And going back to those numbers, the first year they were produced, 124 baseball players, 137 NFL players, 85 NBA players. That decreased slightly until we get to the mid-90s, 96, 97. Then it's gone from 85 NBA players down to like 20, 25 NBA players. And that definitely affected the collection a little bit. Because in the clip that we played from McAnally, he's talking about a lot of these never even hit the shelves. Right? I remember if you'd walk into a toy store or a Walmart, KB Toys, wherever it is, you walk into a shop, if you could find a box of starting lineups that was still unopened, you hit the gold mine. You have no idea what you're going to find. Is it Dennis Rodman with his red hair or his green hair? Because those two, they have different values, right? So when we got a little bit deeper into the 90s, you started to see the rising cost of sports licensing deals. Those became massively expensive. Today, sports leagues basically, they print their own money. NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, starting lineup, they're a casualty of that right there. The generation that grew up around starting lineups loved the idea of the hunt. And another thing that really killed starting lineups, it was the internet. I mean, for instance, today I'm talking about the Utah Jazz set. Well, when they were initially released, and if you collected them, and you wanted the Utah Jazz set of Stockton, Malone, Bailey, and Eaton, and you lived in Colorado, the only way you're getting that set is if you drive to Utah and come across them. There were a lot of starting lineups that were only released regionally. The internet kills that because you can get what you want whenever you want. If there's an online sell, say you're looking at a collectible from Disney, and the Disney store has an online sell only, if they sell out before you get one, you can hop on eBay and it's right there. See, it kills the hunt. And I thought that really, really hurt starting lineups. Took a lot of fun out of it as well. And again, NBA, NHL, NFL lines, they were all done by 2000. The final baseball set was produced in 2001, and it had maybe 16, 17 players. There wasn't a lot of them. And I'll tell you another thing about starting lineups. I have plenty from that 88 series. I have Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They're not worth that much. They top out at about $40 to $50. Very few starting lineups are worth a ton of money. There are a few, though. Okay, so we talked about the Utah Jazz set. That's the holy grail of starting lineup collections. In 1994, there was a Cooperstown collection. For some reason, they accidentally printed Jackie Robinson's jersey with number 44 instead of number 42. I actually have this Jackie Robinson figure. He's not wearing 44, though. He's wearing 42. If you find one of those, nab it. It's worth a lot of money. There's a 1992 version of Magic Johnson. He was supposed to be wearing a purple uniform. Very limited set of Magic in a yellow uniform were released. That's worth a lot of money. 1994, Dennis Rodman with red hair. Extremely unique. 1989 football, Ken O'Brien with a misspelled name. And then there were very few boxing starting lineups released, but in 95 they came out with Rocky Marciano. Apparently, if you find one of those with brown hair, it's very, very rare. I'll end it with this. This is a funny story. Going back to 1988, when they released the NFL, Kenner had mass-produced Dan Fouts, quarterback for the San Diego Chargers. Before that 88 line could be released, Dan Fouts retired. And so Kenner had a boatload of Dan Fouts heads. They put it on the body of Dave Craig. So if you find a Dave Craig starting lineup from 1988, it looks nothing like him because Dave Craig didn't have a beard. And in the card, he's wearing his football helmet, the card that comes with the toy. Interesting tidbit. Dan Fouts' head on Dave Craig's body because Kenner didn't know what to do with all these mass-produced Dan Fouts heads. Starting lineups, big piece of my childhood, definitely a fun conversation to have, and hopefully now you'll go back and start looking at some of your old starting lineups, or at least looking them up online. We are out of time on this edition of the show. We will be back to do it again tomorrow. I want to thank Larry Pepe for taking out the time to join us. Always great to get Larry on the show and talk MMA. Until tomorrow, be safe. I am out.